Hello, friends. I'm Brian Hanna from WQLN NPR, and thanks to our friends at the Erie Philharmonic, I had the privilege of sitting down for just a few minutes to speak with this weekend's guest soloist, the legendary Mid Dory. She was fresh off a performance with your Berlin Philharmonic, but she found a few minutes in her crazy busy schedule to share a little with us about what we can expect from the upcoming concert performance of the music of Robert Schumann and a little bit about her life behind the scenes. Please join me in welcoming to the WQLN airwaves, Mid Dory. Hello, Mid Dory. Thanks for joining us here for Classics.
Hello.
So glad to have you on for just a little while today. And, you know, all of us, we grew up with you. Well, let me rephrase that maybe. You grew up before our very eyes, and most of our audience has been on this musical journey with you for your entire life, from child prodigy and that very famous concert with Leonard Bernstein at Tanglewood to your Kennedy Center Honors Award. Many of us have been steadfast fans for decades. So for today's interview, I wanted to walk past all the well-known Mid Dory moments and maybe step into a few of the lesser-known aspects of your life to share with our audience, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So first, you have many passions. Most of them are musical, but not many people know about your foundation, Mid Dory & Friends. So can we talk about that for a few minutes? Maybe you could tell us about Mid Dory & Friends and why you decided to put your energy and time into this project.
So Mid Dory & Friends is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year, and it is one of my three nonprofit organizations that I started. There are two others, one of which is also celebrating 30th anniversary. And so Mid Dory & Friends in particular brings quality music education to New York City children, their families. And more recently, we have taken the meaning of education in a broader sense. And we believe strongly that we are an agent for change, and that we do not consider education just to be happening within the school walls. And so we have taken and widened this definition of education, and working in all different areas, bringing music and giving opportunities for people to learn about music. Through the schools, we also have programs such as instrumental instruction. We have workshops. We don't actually specialize in any particular type of music. Classical is a small portion of it. And we have different genres of music represented through different artists, different backgrounds, and whether it's through learning of a musical instrument or through workshops or presentations of concerts in the schools or in community centers, we're bringing music to those who may not have so many opportunities to have access to music education or performances.
It's a wonderful and noble project. Do you know, do you have any kind of like basic statistics on how many kids you've touched over 30 years?
I know that we have about some 70 schools that we're working with this year.
That's impressive.
And we have worked for 30 years. And the numbers are, you know, for me, the numbers are a little bit less relevant. It's the way that we touch these kids and their lives and their families and others that we work with. And we have different programs now of also working with teens as an internship, not just in schools. And we give them the tools to advocate for music education, for example, through the internship.
It's a wonderful opportunity. Friends, if you're listening, you can check it out. It's just Google search, Mid Dory & Friends. It's easy. Do you have a website for Mid Dory & Friends?
Yes, all my organizations have websites, and Mid Dory & Friends, of course, has one.
Now, my next question is, you've always been, of course, a champion of classical music, but I heard that you have a real passion for new music. Now, your early supporter, maybe even mentor, Leonard Bernstein, also had a passion for new music. How did you end up falling in love with new music and becoming a champion of new compositions?
I think that for us, artists, performers, working with composers, working with colleagues who are composers participating in the process of a work that actually gets written, as well as performing works, learning works of composers who are living in our century. This actually is a very exciting venture. And it's something that many of us take very willingly and with passion. So new music is something that I feel very strongly about, music of my own time. I was always interested in the lives of composers when I was a child. And I think for me, these lives of composers were just such a part of becoming a part of music. And as of course, as you get interested in composers of the past, at one point you're going to get interested in the composers of the current, of the present. And working with colleagues and getting to know new sounds and exploring new sounds, exploring new ways of producing sound. These are absolutely fascinating things. They're mind-boggling.
Well, I read that sometimes people have a hard time listening to or understanding new music, so that you occasionally will put on programs where you'll actually almost do a discussion about it and speak about the new music so that people know what to look for and know what they should be listening for in a new performance. How important do you think that is to the classical music world that we spend a little more time exploring and explaining what people should be listening to help build their enjoyment of a particular performance?
I think it's absolutely critical that we make it available, some information, some thoughts on the pieces that are being played. I do not think that it's actually a requirement to have this information in order to enjoy music.
Right.
I like to make it available for those who are wishing to have it, but I'm not absolutely requiring. And in some cases, it's actually, I think, negating the experience when we almost don't give the listener the opportunity to have their own imagination.
Right, to be in the moment. Right. Well, when we know that you're very passionate, of course, about music, but when you have to step back a little bit, take a breath, what do you do to step away from music? What are your passions outside of music? Do you have any external hobbies or things that you really enjoy doing besides music?
I enjoy reading very much. I listen to music quite a bit, not necessarily just classical music, but different genres of music. I get to watch documentaries. I am very interested in different documentaries. I cook some and I do different things.
Very human. Now, we are, of course, familiar with the Beethoven, the Mendelssohn, the Brahms, the Tchaikovsky violin concertos. You're going to be performing the Schumann violin concerto with the Erie Philharmonic on March 25th.
Yes, I'm very much looking forward to that. The Schumann concerto is a regular part of my repertoire because I love it so much. And it's a piece that I love to play. And it is so beautiful. It is so heartbreaking. It is so deeply touching. And it's a different experience each and every time I play it.
Right. Well, you're going to be performing it with the Erie Philharmonic. And you've worked with Daniel Meyer, I think, once in the past. This is going to be your first time. And the Warner Theater has been recently renovated. It's acoustically beautiful. It's a stunning hall. I think you're going to really enjoy your time here. And the orchestra is at the top of their game. So I really hope that you enjoy your visit to Erie, because that means, well, we might get you back a little sooner than later. This is your first trip to Erie, isn't it?
Looking forward. And I'm very much looking forward. I believe that I was scheduled to go and something happened. So I'm now finally able to come and I'm so happy about it. And I know that in addition to the concerto performance, there's going to be also a special event that's organized to support the education program of the orchestra of the symphony. So it's really, really nice to think that this is now just around the corner next week.
It is. It's just right around the corner. Well, the event you're going to be playing is a little brunch on Sunday afternoon. And if anybody would like tickets, of course, to see Midori, you can call the Erieville box office at 455-1375. You can visit them on the web at erieville.org. And you can also get tickets for the special Sunday brunch with Midori at the website. So one last question before I let you go and get back to your practicing. There are so many fine young musicians on the scene today. Is there one young musician that you are following closely that you think is going to be the next big star?
Oh, I think there's so many wonderful ones. And it's exciting to know that they're all different, they're unique, they're individual. And when you start to talk to them, you also realize that they really have a very, very clear idea of what it is that they want. And it's very exciting. We just actually had auditions at Curtis, and audition time for me is of course stressful for any faculty, but also a very exciting time to be meeting, to be listening to those who will now make up part of the school. And it's a really uplifting feeling, and especially this year at Curtis, for the first time since the pandemic, we had the auditions live, and I was very, very stressed, but very happy as well. But there is that excitement of getting to know young people and the young musicians and the ideas, the commitment that they have, and what they want to do through music and with music, and it's absolutely inspiring.
Yeah, the world of classical music is in really good hands with this next generation. I'm very excited to see what happens. But we are also really excited to welcome you, like we said, to the Warner Theater. That's going to be March 25th. Midori, thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to talk to us for just a few minutes here today on WQLN NPR. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
We'll see you on the 25th.
Yes, thank you. So if you'd like to include this, I'm just in Berlin and I just got off the stage.
From where are you performing in Berlin?
In the Concerthaus.
Wow.
So I just finished. That's why I was in the first half. I just literally came off stage.
So what's the repertoire in Berlin?
So I just played the Beethoven concerto.
The Beethoven concerto. So you don't get any rest at all?
Well, I have Sunday. This
That's
week.
It.
It was spring break this week, so from Curtis. So, Monday and Thursday I'm teaching, and then I'm coming to Erie on Friday morning.
Yes, you're going to come to Erie on Friday, and then you go right into rehearsal, and then you have a little bit of a break, and then Saturday morning is a rehearsal, and Saturday night is a performance. So it's a bit of a whirlwind visit, but hopefully the weather will be nice, and you are definitely going to enjoy performing with Daniel Meyer and the Erie Phil. They've been so on top of their game lately. This is going to be a wonderful opportunity for all of you.
That's great. Thank you.
Again, a special thank you goes out to Midori, of course, for finding time in her schedule to talk with us for just a few minutes. And thank you goes out to Daniel Meyer, Steve Weiser, and the whole crew at the Erie Philharmonic. Without their hard, constant work and dedication to the world of classical music, we in Erie would not have the opportunity to see wonderful artists like Midori on the Warner Theater stage. Again, I'm Brian Hanna. I hope you enjoyed this interview. Have a great afternoon, everybody.